So it is May 22nd. What? Chaf Ches, Chaf Zayin, Vir, Chafav Vir, okay. And we are up to Alachadei Perek Chaf Tes, 29 of Farshas Tetzaveh. We talk about the following mitzvah, which has some interesting ramifications to other places. So what mitzvah is there? So there is the Pasuk tells us in Perek Chaf Tes, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, verse 33, it says... There it is. V'yachlu osam. The pasuk is V'yachal basar Aaron is a basar ayav as alechem asher basal pesach omuwe. That Aaron and his sons ate the meat of the ayil and the bread that was in the basket by the opening of the olamoid. V'yachlu osam asher kupar bahem, and they who received atonement through them ate them as well. Amali yisyal mekayish osam v'zar lo yochal ki kadosh shem. But a zari non kohen can't eat them because it's considered kadosh. So this pasuk is used as a pasuk, one of the proofs about that there is a mitzvah to eat kachin. That there's a mitzvah to eat things that are offered in the Beis HaMikdash, right? That there's those things are supposed to be eaten. So that could include karbanos, sacrifices. That includes the lechem hapanim, the bread from the shulchan. That include the omer, that include the mincha. All of those things that are supposed to be eaten or are permitted to be eaten, there is a mitzvah to eat them. And there's a prohibition not in it not being eaten. That if it's not being eaten for a while, it becomes something called nosar, and it's left over, and therefore can't be eaten anymore. So that's something that one needs to avoid. So there is a mitzvah to eat kachin. So that's the introduction to the following idea. Because we have a measurement that we generally use in halacha about eating things. What's our most standard food measurement?
Kazayas,
right? To eat things that are kazayas. So when it comes to kachin, so I would think, in order to fulfill this mitzvah, well, I would have to eat a kazayas, right? That would make sense, right? So far, so good. So Rav Asher Weiss points out, right, there's a few gemaras that seem to perhaps indicate not that way, that one would not have to eat a kazayas for this particular mitzvah. So what would that be? So the Gemara tells us, has the following story, towards the very beginning of Maseches Psachim, that Hano Tlasa Kahani, there's on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, that there were three Kohanim, Chad Amar Luhu Higiani Kfol, one said to the other, a piece the size of a bean reached me. Okay, the Chad Amar Higiani Kazayas, one says a piece the size of an olive reached me. This is talking about their share of the Lechem Hapanim. So they're giving out the lechem hapanim, each one gets a section. So one guy says, oh, I got one the size of a bean. One says, I got one the size of an olive. B'chad amar higiani kiznav halta. And the other one says, oh, I got the size of a lizard's tail. So bad kuacharav, so they checked into that guy. The purpose of this is that he didn't speak in proper language. It's not so nice to refer to the lechem hapanim as, you know, something that's not kosher. So they looked into him, and they found that he was shemitz psul. They found that he was disqualified. So they asked, wait a second, but we don't check into people that already had offered korbanos on the mizbeach. He says, no, lo teima shemitz psul, el eima shachas psul. It doesn't mean that he had a disqualifying flaw in terms of his lineage, but he had a disqualifying flaw in terms of his haughtiness. Or you could say Shani Hasim Aranafi, that he compromised himself was he made that comment. Right? Either way, there's something for the purpose of the Gemara is saying don't speak in that nice way, and he did, and they found the problem with him. For our purpose, what about the first guy? The first one said, yeah, oh, I got one the size of a bean. Why would you bother giving him one the size of a bean if the size of a bean is not a kazayas? Right? That's question A. This becomes more clear by a different Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Yuma, it gives you a whole list of korbanos. This is on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, in the beginning of a new parak. That there's someone named Shimon HaTzadik. He's probably the most famous Kohen Gadol outside of Aaron and Elazar. So someone named Shimon HaTzadik. He was the one who was confronted by Alexander the Great. And Alexander the Great was about to enter in Yerushalayim, and he saw Shimon HaTzadik come out. And Alexander the Great got off of his... off of his horse and said, oh, that before I go into war, I see that the face of that person. So he and that's this person, Shimon HaTzadik. He was the Kohen Gadol for many, many years. So the Gemara tells us 40 years that Arba'im Shana Shishimi Shimon HaTzadik, for the 40 years that he was the Kohen Gadol. So Hayagora Ola Biyamin. So whenever he would take the last of Yom Kippur, the one for Hashem would always be in his right hand. From then on onwards, it would be either one, and the strip of red wool would always turn white. From then on onwards, sometimes it would, sometimes it wouldn't. And when Shimon HaTzadik was alive, the western lamp of the menorah would stay lit. And then onwards, sometimes it would, sometimes it wouldn't. That they would keep the right, the most, as opposed to us who have the shamash in the middle, the most right one was the one that was lit first. And then it gives a couple other examples. And then he gives the following example: V'nishtalcha bracha ba'omer uv'shteyalechem uv'lechem apanim. That during his lifetime, when Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol, so there was bracha that was sent upon the omer and the shtei halechem. The shtei halechem is the korban that is offered on Shavuos itself, and the lechem apanim. What was that bracha? So Gemara says, "V'chol kohen shemagio kizayis." That every kohen who got a kizayis, yish ochlo v'soveya, could eat it and they would be full. V'yish ochlo umosir, and some would eat of it and they would leave some over. Wait a second, and they were still full. That's the point of the Gemara. The Gemara is saying that they didn't even have to eat a kizayis and they were still full. That's an interesting line. But wait a second, don't they have a mitzvah to eat the whole kizayis? Right. And then we continue. The Gemara continues on and says, "Nikan ve'elach nishtalcha me'ira va'omer uvishtei halech uvlechem apanim." From then onwards, there was a curse was put on the omer, the shtei halechem and lechem apanim. V'chol kohen magia kful. Every kohen who received the size of a bean, so that's all that they were giving out. Hatsenuin moshkin es yedayhem. So the ones that are discreet, so they like held out their hand, held back their hands. They didn't even bother trying to get it. V'hagarganin gnotlin v'ochlin, and the it translates here as the gluttons would snatch and eat it. Then it tells the story. He took his portion, another person's portion. V'hayukorinoso, and they would call him ben chamtsan ad yomos. They called him the robber until the day of his death. Okay, that's what the Gemara tells us. But wait a second, don't they have a mitzvah? If it's a mitzvah to eat the from the lechem apanim, so don't they have to eat a kizayis? Why are they getting away with eating less than a kizayis? Okay, that's the premise of his question. So okay, so there's a couple ways of trying to figure out that answer, right? One answer is to say, you know, really two directions. Number one is maybe you're yotze with less than a kizayis, or B, maybe there's nothing to be yotze, right? So there are some that say that Sam Sofer that he quotes here, that the Rapashat de lo mekayim mitzvos achilas kachim el bekizayis b'chol mitzvos achilas shebetor v'tersu de b'lechem apanim miskayim mitzvos hachila ayudeya kohen gadol. Says, well, number one is the Sam Sofer kind of punts that the kohen gadol, the way the lechem apanim were divided up, is the kohen gadol would take a bunch of it. I think this is like he took a few of the loaves for himself, like four of the 12 loaves, he took like four of them for himself or something, I don't remember, but he took a significant amount, and the rest of them he divided amongst everybody else. So who fulfilled the mitzvah of eating the kachim? The Kohen Gadol fulfilled it. Everybody else kind of got what they got, but they weren't necessarily in fulfillment of the mitzvah. Okay, that's a little problem, but if it's a mitzvah for everybody, so maybe that's the answer. The answer is, well, the answer is no. They didn't fulfill the mitzvah. And that's the answer that the Chassam Sofer gives. But that's a little problematic, right? So one's fulfilling the mitzvah. He's not fulfilling it on their behalf. So why don't you just give it out to more people so that you give a kizayis out to less people so that more people would fulfill the mitzvah, right? So there is a Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi was? Soloveitchik, yes. The Rav Chaim's father. Pretty sure. Yeah, Rav Chaim's father, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, the same name that the Rav had. The Rav was named for his great-grandfather, right? Yeah, the Rav, he was first the Rav in Slutsk, I believe, and then was the Rav in Brisk. And he has Chuvos, he's probably most famous for his book on Chumash, this Beis Halevi al Torah, which really only goes up to Parshas Ki Tisa or so. But that's perhaps how he's most well known, but he also has Shailos and Chuvos that are out there. So he has a Chuvah that discusses this. And he kind of takes the other direction, right? The Chassam Sofer is saying, well, the Kohen Gadol was Yotze, nobody else was Yotze. He answers no. That maybe when it comes to this mitzvah, af bepachos mi kizayis, that maybe you're even Yotze with less than a kizayis. As opposed to saying, well, they weren't yotzei the mitzvah. Say, no, they were all yotzei the mitzvah. Have to be able to yotzei with mitzvah with the size of a bean? Well, maybe for this mitzvah, you don't have to eat a kezias. So why not? Why would the mitzvah of eating kudshim be different than other mitzvahs of the Torah? That by other mitzvahs in the Torah, you have to eat a kezias, an olive's worth, and by this mitzvah, you don't. He says, well...
Limit in the mouth.
Thus?
Because there was a limit in the mouth.
Okay, so...
Maybe there's a...
There's a limited amount of matzah, so you could get away with eating less than a kezias. Why would that be? So he answers the bechulam hamitzvahi lechol v'kachim hamitzvahi sheyeyachel. He says it's a different mitzvah. When it comes to eating matzah, when it comes to other things that we eat, what else? Other things are there mitzvah to specifically eat?
Bread.
Maror. Maror actually comes up. That's an interesting. That's part of this discussion. Maror is that the mitzvah of maror? But okay, matzah is the most obvious one. When it comes to eating matzah, it's a mitzvah that everybody eat matzah. When it comes to eating the mitzvah, the korban pesach. It's a mitzvah that everybody eat the Korban Pesach. What is the mitzvah by Kachim? The mitzvah by Kachim is to ensure that it be eaten. It's not that we're obligated to eat it, it's just that it needs to be eaten. That's what the Beis Halevi says. So as long as it's eaten, it doesn't matter if you're eating kezias or not. So you're taking part in the eating of it because the whole idea is that it needs to be consumed. That's the goal. The goal is not that everybody eat it. The goal is that it be consumed and that it be gone and not have to be thrown out and not have to be burnt and not all those things. So the mitzvah is being done even if you eat less than a kezias. Okay, so those are the two kind of extreme answers. Then there's a middle answer. That middle answer actually appears on the daf of the Gemara. On the daf of the Gemara, there's something called the Tosos Yishanim. Tosos Yishanim appears in several mesechtas on the side. I look at the Gemara here. You have the Gemara here, Rashi here, Tosos here, and down here is the Tosos Yishanim. Tosos Yishanim is probably one of the earlier editions of the Tosos that were printed. How Tosos came to be Tosos is a fascinating thing. I mean, something that got written over 100, 150, 200 years in a lot of different places, and there's, well, what's Tosos? Our Rush Tosos are made of parrots. It's an interesting study on its own. But the Tosos Yishanim, this is a famous one, so he says on the bottom, Omer Rebbe, the dafka mi giyo kful, aval b'kazayis lo hayu moshkin yideyim, ki dimu l'kayim mitzvus achila. It says they were giving out a kful that snuim would hold back their hands. So Rabbi says that only when there's a kful that they were getting, but if it was a kezias, they wouldn't hold their hands back because they wanted to get the kezias. It's only when they're only giving out smaller amounts would they hold their hands back. Okay. Aval kan lo haya mitzvas achila legamri. Right? But here there's no real mitzvah, there's no full mitzvah. Why? Because you only got a kful, you only got the size of a bean. Nor are they going to be filled up by it. Now, what about the opposite? What about, were they ever actually fulfilled the mitzvah when they were getting less than a kezias? So he answers, Yesh Lomar, the lo bai kezias legamre, el kezias adif. You don't need a full kezias, it's just better to have a kezias. V'chashiva achila, and that would be considered achila. V'lekulam lo ayu yecholim l'chalik b'shav. But for all of them, they wouldn't be able to divide it equally, so therefore they didn't get it. So what did Tosfos Yishanim just say? Tosfos Yishanim seems to be saying some kind of dual level mitzvah here. That, yeah, you could get a mitzvah if you have less than a kezias, but you get the full mitzvah if you have more than a kezias. What's he getting at? What is he talking about? There's two levels of mitzvahs. It's a little hard to figure out what he means. So in the Sefer Milchas Asher here, right, there's a mitzvah below, but yet there's a bigger mitzvah above. So one suggestion is that the Tosfos Yishanim is driving on a topic that we've covered in this year, and that is the idea of chatzi shir. Chatzi shir. We covered chatzi shir. The Gemara tells us in Yuma that if you eat less than the kezias, you violate an Yom Kippur. You violate an issur d'orais on Yom Kippur. I eat less than the kezias. He says, yeah, chatzi shir is asur min haTorah. Chatzi, half, shir is a shir is a measure, right? So a half of a measure is still asur in the Torah. So how do you understand that? I thought you needed a kezias. No, a kezias is necessary for a punishment. But the Torah prohibits even things that are chatzi shir, right? You're not allowed to do it at all, even according to the Torah. Right? The Torah prohibits everything. It's just in order to get to a punishment, you have to eat a kezias, you have to carry a dalet amos. You have to, all of those things that we say, you have to, you have a shear of how much you need to do. You're writing two letters. You violate a melacha Shabbos if you write two letters. If you write one, right, so chatzi shear. Right, so chatzi shear is aser min haTorah. So suggests the Minchas Chinuch, yeah, just as chatzi shear is aser min haTorah, chatzi shear is also mekayim the mitzvah min haTorah. That you can fulfill the mitzvah of doing it even if you don't have a full shear. That's a big chiddush. Minchas Asher here points out that's a big chiddush. That's very difficult to say because the whole idea that a chatzis shear is even usher in the first place is learnt out from Pesukim. That the pasuk seems to imply that idea. It says, yeah, so if you have a pasuk to prove that it applies to a los asay, how do you extend that it applies to an asay as well? That's a little bit difficult to say. That's what says the Minchas Asher. So Minchas Asher continues on and says, no, what probably is going on here, what the Tosfos Yeshanim seems to be, what is probably saying is, that there is two mitzvahs going on here. And we would expect that from the Beis Halevi. He says, but there's two aspects to the mitzvah. There's one mitzvah of eating, that it needs to be eaten, that it needs to be consumed, that there not be anything left over, and everybody should participate in it. And the second mitzvah is to actually actively eat a kazayas. To eat a kazayas, that's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah, I say. To eat less than that, you don't get the mitzvah of eating it. But what do you get the mitzvah of? You do get the mitzvah of consuming it. So that's probably pshat in the Minchas Asher, in the Tosfos Yeshanim. That yes, it's true that that you don't need to eat a kazayas in order to fulfill the mitzvah. What does he mean by that? In order to make sure that it be eaten. But in order to get your own personal fulfillment of the mitzvah, what do you need to do? For that you need to eat an entire kazayas. So he says, so what if you eat less? Says, yeah, so you participated in what everybody else was doing. You were partnered in making sure that the entire lechem apanim were eaten. You partnered in the idea of making sure that the shtei halechem was eaten and that the kabanas were eaten. Yes, all that is true. But in terms of a personal fulfillment of the mitzvah, for that one needs to eat an entire kezayis. For that one needs to eat an entire measurement. Yes. Yeah, so he says. So then he starts getting into a couple of nafkaminas. He says, number one, he says, would you make a bracha on eating kachin? You make a bracha, right? Kachin are sanctified things. So eating karbanos, lacham apanim, kachin, kodesh, right? Whatever you're eating, all right? So I'm about to have a steak from one of the animals that was shechted. So that's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of eating kachin. Besides the bracha that you would make on shahakal, would you also make a bracha on eating kachim? So the suggestion is yes, you would. Would you make a bracha on eating less than a shear? Let's say you were given one of those little kernels of lechem apanim. Would you make a bracha of ashir kishan tzavet zivano ala chilas kachim? So he says, no. He says, if you only got less than a kezayis, you would not make a bracha. Yes, it's true you're taking part in the consumption of it, but in terms of a personal mitzvah of eating it, that you're only going to fulfill if you eat an entire kezayis. And he says as well that there, and then now you start getting into current mitzvahs as well. He says that perhaps the idea that we're supposed to be mechaviv mitzvahs, we're supposed to be searching after mitzvahs. So what, this Gemara in Yuma is an odd Gemara, right? It says that they were only giving out these kernels, and the tsenuim, those people, the modest kohanim, they held their hand back. They didn't bother with that kernel, while the people who were the gorgers, they were going after it. So why can't you say, well, why would I not say, but there's a mitzvah? Why, there's a mitzvah to eat the kachim, so shouldn't they be trying to get that mitzvah of eating the kachim? So Asher says no. That the only time that there's a mitzvah to go after mitzvos, to seek mitzvos, is when it's a chovas hagavra, when there's a personal obligation in order to do it. For example, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Menachos that when the Malach's going to come and look for, when people get upset, when Hashem's going to get upset with the Jews and he's going to send people to be punished, so the Malach that's coming to do the punishment is going to seek out those that don't wear tzitzis. And the Gemara there has a question, well, is he wearing a square garment? He's not wearing a square garment. But the assumption of that Gemara is that no, that even if, and the Gemara concludes, that even if you're not wearing a square garment, why aren't you wearing a square garment? You should be doing it. You should be seeking that mitzvah. right? Which is the source that we wear a talis katan today, right? Why do we wear a talis katan? Right? I should only have to wear tzitzis on a garment that has four corners. Right? So the answer is no, because we're seeking the mitzvah to do. So he says, so why don't these kohanim seek the mitzvah to do? He says the same concept, that it's not a personal mitzvah. If you're going to get a kezias, so that it's a personal mitzvah to eat the kezias, and you should go and try to get that kezias. And the Gemara actually implies that they did that. The Gemara implies that they did go and seek that kezias when it was available. But if the kezias isn't going to be available, so the only thing that you're doing is making sure that the korbanos are eaten. That's not a personal obligation. There's no personal obligation to do that. Right? There's only an idea of chibuv hamitzvah, of loving mitzvahs, when you have the ability to personally do, when it's a chovas agavra, when it's a personal obligation upon the body. He adds in one more line here about, like, for example, what about shechita? Right? Should a person specifically learn shechita in order to fulfill the mitzvah of shechita? Right? At some point in your life, go and take a class, learn about the knife, and go shecht an animal. All right, it's the mitzvah of shechita. So he explains that, not really. The mitzvah of shechita is a chova of the animal. In order for the animal to be eaten, so it's a mitzvah for the shechita to be done. But it's not necessarily a personal obligation for each person to go ahead and learn shechita, and I'm more than happy to have other people get that mitzvah on my behalf, not something that I'm really interested in doing. That was when I was in yeshiva. My roommate was now a Rosh Kol in Chicago, Rabbi Brand. So he was getting his Kabbalah for shechita. He learned how they used to, those that have been to the YU campus, they used to, I don't know if they still do, but they used to have a shechita class on the in the MTA bio lab after hours. So the time that he was getting his first doing his first shechita, so I went to go watch. You know, my roommate's doing shechita, and he shechts the chicken, and then he yells out, "I want to hereby be mechubad my roommate Yonah Gross with kisui hadam, covering the taking the dirt and covering the blood." We brought dirt with us, right? I was like, "I'm more than happy to stay over here. You can give the comment to somebody else." So, there's no personal obligation to do it, so one doesn't have to go and seek after it, as opposed to tzitzit, as opposed to tefillin, things like that, which a person has to personally go and go through great pains in order to accomplish. The Chassam Sofer, in his Chuvos, he quotes here, says that perhaps this... He raises a question on the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham tells us in Siman Nun Gimel Sif Katan Chavav. So what is that talking about? So it's an interesting halacha here. The halacha tells us in the Shulchan Aruch says, Shliach Tzibur B'schar Adif Mi Ben Nedava. That it's better to pay a Shliach Tzibur than it is for him just to do it for free. Right? It's better. It's not the minhag in too many places, but people do. And on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur especially, there are shuls that specifically make sure to pay a chazan, because it's better that a person be assigned that they're getting money, etc. So and it says the Ramah, "Ein la'adam li'spala below ratzon hakal." And the Ramah jumps in and says, and a person shouldn't daven unless people want him to daven. "V'chol mi shemispala b'chazaka b'derech almus, ein onan amein achar b'chazan." A person takes over the tzibur, they kind of take control and say, "Oh, I'm davening." And they start their chazanship. So what is everybody else supposed to do? Says the Ramah, nothing. Don't answer Amen. Don't answer him. Right? And there's nothing worse. If somebody grabs the Amen that way and nobody answers Amen, that's brutal. So says the Magen Avraham below Ratzon, "Ve'in lihiskotit bavur shu mitzvah. Sherei shaninu hatzenuah moshkim es yedeyem milechem apanim." And the Magen Avraham says, the truth is, it's good not to fight for any mitzvah. As we see by the lechem apanim, that the tznuim, they held their hands back. So says the Minchas Asher, or the Chassam Sofer, wait a second. It's not the whole story there. Yes, it's true that a mitzvah that's not on the gavra, a person shouldn't fight over. So the being shliach tzibur is not a mitzvah on the gavra, right? There's a mitzvah that somebody should be the chazan, but it's not a mitzvah that everybody else should try to get. So the chazan people shouldn't fight over. But it doesn't mean there are no mitzvahs that people, right? There are mitzvahs that a person should try their utmost to get a hold of. It doesn't mean fighting people, it doesn't mean beating people up, but it means, trying to make sure that I get to do that. So things that are chovas hagavra, that would be a thing that one would recommend the do. Okay, so that is the idea of Lech HaPar. Now, there is one other thought, which he doesn't discuss here, but I just wanted to point out. We discussed it last week in Shul. And that is the issue of it being less. So what is the status of something less than a kezayis? Does it ever have a status? So when would it, would this play out for us? So this would play out if one eats less than a kezayis of bread. So at least the size of bread is not very much bread. You say even using the largest measures, I mean half a piece of white bread, right? It's not very much. But it does come up in the following situation. It comes up if these restaurants that maybe has you can wash, and there are the little breadcrumbs that are right next to it. So croutons are questionable whether you want to use croutons. Sometimes they've been there so long that they're like croutons, yes. But purposeful croutons, perhaps in. When I was in yeshiva in YU, I thought this is like, they used to, the bagels that weren't eaten, they would turn into croutons. Right. So those you definitely had to wash on, but that's, yeah. Anyways, so the issue is as follows. What about, so if you eat, just if you wash and eat those pieces of bread, so like in elementary school, sometimes they'll do that. They'll have every kid come to lunch. The first thing they'll do is they'll line them all up by the washing station. They'll all wash, they'll all have a breadcrumb, and then they'll go have everyone else they have to eat. That way, you solve the problem. You solve a problem of everybody having to worry about what brachos everyone makes, and you solve another problem is this way everybody has to bench. Right? So the problem is you solve neither of those problems. Halpi halacha. Because if you only eat a breadcrumb, if you only eat less than a kezayis, so number one is there's no chiyuv to bench on less than a kezayis, even if you have other things to add that you have with it. And the other issue is that the idea that by eating bread, you take care of all of your other brachos, that only applies if you're eating your whole meal of bread. It's not just a magic bread mitzvah, a magic thing about the bracha of avodas lechem min haaretz. The idea is that everything of the meal is subservient to the bread. So therefore, if you make a bracha on bread, you don't have to worry about everything else, but it's all eating with the bread. But if you just have a breadcrumb here, and then you go and get your lunch, and you eat it over there, and you don't have anything, any more bread the rest of the meal, so then it doesn't work. You have to make the rest of the brachos on those different foods that are in front of you. So you need to. What about if you had that? If you had a small piece of bread, what about benching? So you don't bench. What about if you want to just have a breadcrumb? So you would wash. You would make hamotzi, but there would be no obligation of benching afterwards because you have less than the kezayis, except for possibly the following exception. The pasuk tells us v'achalta v'savata v'irachta, that you have to eat and you have to be satiated, and then you're going to go ahead and make a bracha. So the Gemara comments that Kadosh Baruch Hu looks down and says, oh, how wondrous are the Jewish people. Really, they only have to make a bracha achrona, they only have to bench if they are full. But they even make a bracha achrona, even if they only have a kezayis. The Gemara makes that comment. But what about if one can be full from eating less than a kezayis? It's not very much, but it could happen. If somebody is perhaps sick, or if somebody is elderly, and they really don't have much of an appetite, and it could theoretically happen, right, that a person could be full from less than a kezayis. Would they have an obligation of benching? And the Pesachei Tshuva here deals with it. And Chuf Pei Dalet Sif Yud Gimel raises that issue, and he pretty much says it's a suffix. Imatzin l'prim gadim shesover shechai berchas amazon kishe'ocho v'soveya af shelo ocho kezayis. Prim gadim says, you would be chai berchas amazon if you eat it if you're full, even if you don't eat a kezayis in the requisite amount of time. Comes Achsam Sofer and he says, Sha'af pa'achal, even if you have a kezayis, if you're full, you make a bracha, a berchas amazon. Uva kama mea poskim, batsinu mea sheskim l'divrehem, mikol makom, rov poskim, right, not like that. Rov poskim passing against that. If you don't need a kezayis, there would be no obligation of benching, even if you're full. What is that list? So he gives you a whole, he says, the list that's mentioned earlier in footnote 67. Yeah, Shilchazan Tahor, She'elis Yaakov, Beis She'ara, gives you a list. Stei Chemed is really an encyclopedic work. It gives you a list of both. So therefore, he really just says, you got to avoid that issue. If a person is in that situation where they can be full from a very small amount of food, so one should probably not eat bread because it leads into that suffix, leads into that questionable situation. Okay. Anyways, those are some of the issues revolving kezayis, all emanating from the mitzvah of eating kachim in the Beis HaMikdash.
What about the time issue?
What about the time issue? Yeah, it's the same problem. If you eat very little and you have a pause, you need to eat a kezayis besoch kedei achilas pras. That's the din. All right. Have a good day.